of all, Cheryl, just explain to us what this concept is, the Scottish rate of income tax.
Perhaps if I could take a step back, I think one of the reasons there's confusion is that a lot of the discussion at present on Scottish rate of income tax has been completely overshadowed by the Smith Commission, the Smith Report and the Scotland Bill, which is currently going through Westminster. And if we perhaps talk about Smith taxes, I don't know if Lord Smith would appreciate that, but that's where the emphasis has been recently. And that completely overshadows the fact that back in 2012, there was a Scotland Act then, which brought in a number of devolved powers. And then if you add into that mixture the Scotland 2012 Act, when it brought in the different devolved powers, there are different kinds of devolution. They encompass different taxes. And if people talk about Scottish taxes or devolved taxes, it lacks precision, and of course, as you know, that's all important for us tax folk.
Yeah, well, yes, indeed. So just to explain what the change is then for us.
Well, as you know, we've already got land and buildings transaction tax, which is a devolved tax and completely within the power of the Scottish Parliament. And as of next April, this Scottish rate of income tax will come in. Now, this is a partially devolved power, and I say that because it's a rate which the Scottish Parliament can set, but it sits, that rate, that Scottish rate, will sit within the UK income tax rate. So the powers will be such that the UK rate will be reduced by 10 pence in the pound across all bands, across the 20% band, the 40% band, the 45% band. And it will rest with the Scottish Parliament to set its own rate to replace that.
And who will it affect then? Because if you live in Scotland but you work in England, or indeed the other way around, who would have to pay the Scottish rate of income tax?
Yes, it will fall to Scottish taxpayers, and a Scottish taxpayer is based on where you live. So for the vast majority of people, it will be main residents and you know, where you stay is where you stay. And HMRC have done a great deal of work behind the scenes so far and will later this autumn be writing to people who they consider to be Scottish taxpayers based on their addresses and saying, you know, we think you're a Scottish taxpayer, you'll be liable to pay the Scottish rate of income tax. These letters haven't been sent out yet because I think it's been decided it will be best to wait until the actual rate has been announced rather than having to do two waves of communications, and that's completely understandable.
So does the government first of all have to announce, as you say, whether it's going to change the rate or at least decide if it's going to keep it the same?
That's a really important point around this, because the previous powers under the 1998 Act for the Scottish variable rate were optional powers which the Scottish Parliament could or could not have exercised, and as we know, they didn't ever exercise them, and that was deemed to be a failure in some respects by the Calman Commission. And what we're getting now with the Scottish rate of income tax has been recommended by the Calman Commission to address that issue of not exercising powers that are there. And so what will happen with the Scottish rate of income tax is that 10p in the pound will be taken out of the budget. The Barnett formula will be adjusted to take account of all that tax coming out, and the Scottish Parliament will need to set its own rate. Now, its own rate could easily be the same as the rest of the UK. It could be 10p, in which case the rates will be much muchness with what they are now. On the other hand, they could set a lower rate, they could set a higher rate.
And that's an interesting, you know, idea, isn't it? Because that would if the rate was different, then you would have the issue of tax competition between Scotland and England, wouldn't you? And I mean, is that practical, or what are the pros and cons of that?
You do have an element of tax competition, and it might be one of the features that you would use to encourage inward investment, say. But I think in income tax, the majority of people probably are relatively static. So you don't have as much competition there as you would say if you were looking at something like corporation tax.
And also from an employer's perspective then, I suppose like any sort of red tape or you know, fiscal change then, it's something that they won't welcome. But then that is that's the cost of accountability and of having powers, isn't it?
It is one of the costs. But actually, in fairness, and one of the reasons that we're having a Scottish rate within a UK income tax is to maintain all the administrative side of it in place, because this tax will continue to be administered by HMRC. It's not Revenue Scotland that will be dealing with it.
So would there be any implications for employers in Scotland then, or not?
Well, not yes and no. Employers will obviously have to collect payroll, because PAYE is a payroll tax, and the vast bulk of income tax is collected through that. So employers will need to do it. But employers actually have little direct responsibility other than operating with S codes, which is what a Scottish taxpayer will get. You'll have S in front of your PAYE code to indicate that you're Scottish. Okay. And that Scottish tax tables will need to be used. So employers need to do that. And it's not the employer's duty to identify Scottish people. That's HMRC's duty. I suppose the only difficulty is that if employees have questions, inevitably they go to HR, the employer, before they try contacting HMRC.
Right, well, thank you very much for setting it all out for us, Charlotte Barber there.